Support for the Exchange Podcast from NHPR comes from you, our listeners,
and from the New Hampshire Department of Agriculture, Markets, and Food. New Hampshire's farms and farmers markets are full of fresh goods, rich with agricultural heritage, and available all year long. You can locate pick-your-own-farms, farmers markets, fairs, and more near you using the directories at visitnh.gov/agriculture.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. School superintendents say it's one of the toughest decisions they make, whether to call a snow day. Sometimes it's obvious, a huge nor'easter is coming in, for example. But other times, even with improved weather forecasting, it's hard to know exactly what conditions will be out on the roads. That's especially true in large districts that pull from lots of towns across a wide geographic area. Today in The Exchange, snow days, how school leaders decide and how that's evolved. Also, why some New Hampshire districts have adopted so-called blizzard bags, allowing teachers and kids to work from home. Let's hear from you. Our email, exchange@nhpr.org. Again, exchange@nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange, or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. With me in studio, Brendan Minahan. He's been a superintendent for 11 years, serving in Laconia for the last three. He's also president of the New Hampshire School Administrators Association. He's a former math teacher. Brendan, really nice to meet you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much.
Also with us, Megan Tuttle, president of the New Hampshire chapter of the National Education Association. Megan was a teacher for 18 years in Keene and in Pembroke. And Megan, good to see you. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And also with us, Lisa Witt. She's been superintendent of the Monadnock Regional School District for 4 years. She worked in school administration in New Hampshire for more than a decade. Before that, she worked in Maine. And Lisa, really nice to meet you. Thank you also for being here.
Thank you.
So Lisa, I'm going to start with you. How hard is it to make this call?
It's incredibly difficult. We want to be able to give as much notice as we can to parents so that they can plan around whether or not their children will be home. And as parents, I'm a parent myself too, so I understand, you know, the need to have that ability to plan. But it's a multi-layered process. There's, we typically, if we know that weather is coming in, we're starting the day before, the night before. The Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management puts on a conference call, usually at 3 in the afternoon, the day before any weather event, and superintendents across the state have the opportunity to call in, get the latest up-to-date information from NOAA, and ask questions specific to their regions. And then the fun starts at around 4 o'clock in the morning the next day.
Doesn't sound like fun, but yeah.
particularly by region, I think, superintendents communicate early on, starting at around 4 in the morning, at least in our region, by text message most of the time, to start asking what's happening. What do you see in your districts? What are your road agents saying? We get back on the internet and check the most recent forecasts. We check in with bus companies if we contract with our bus companies, and they check in with road agents and to get a really good handle on what it looks like now and what it might look like in a couple of hours when buses start rolling.
So you've got a lot of cooks helping you make that soup, you know, road agents, bus drivers, other superintendents, Homeland Security, weather forecasters. But in the end, it kind of comes down to you, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
You had a situation just recently, Lisa, that I heard about where you had to make a really tough sort of on the fly call. Tell us about that.
Sure. It was this past Tuesday. And on Monday, we had our conference call at 3 o'clock. There was some weather coming in. It wasn't really predicted to have a significant impact in our district. Was looking to trend more north and in the higher elevations. So participated in the call. Thought, okay, we'll get up at 4, we'll take another look, but it doesn't sound like anything that we'll need to really handle. Getting up in the morning, we start the process I described, and it becomes obvious that we probably need a 2-hour delay just to be on the safe side. And so we did. We called a 2-hour delay, started to, you know, get ready for the day. Right around 9 o'clock, all of a sudden, the weather pattern shifted. And started getting phone calls from the bus company and road agents and the like, letting us know that it's getting really nasty out there. We already had most of our students had arrived to our middle high school by that point in time.
So you have different start times, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, but elementary schools hadn't been picked up, or for the most part hadn't been picked up yet. And so we had to make the unique decision to keep the middle high school in session and cancel our elementary schools for the day at a very late hour in the morning at 9 o'clock.
Yikes. So yeah. I'm not envying you right now. How much flack did you get from parents about that?
We try to communicate as much as we can, as often as we can. So we use a reverse phone calling system to notify parents when we initiate the delay. We also use Facebook and social media. And a lot of times when I put the message out, I encourage folks to please share with others to make sure everybody gets the message.
Sure. So how about you, Brendan? How much do you love making that call?
Love is a strong word. I would say probably not so much. As Lisa has said, it's a very challenging decision. I actually had reached out to some of my colleagues to ask them, and one of my superintendent colleagues said it's the literal worst part of the job of being a superintendent.
Yeah, I have heard that from others.
We have the very similar process. I think with this past couple of storms, the fact that it's so early in the season and they're so kind of water laden, they created some additional challenges this year. I know the Tuesday storm of which she speaks, we didn't close at all. We were open. We were supposed to get an inch. I think in the end we got 4 or 5 inches, but it was just snowing all day. And so it's very challenging.
You know, I got an email from Tracy who raises a point that I think you probably hear from a lot of parents. Tracy says, as a person who grew up in a snowier area, Buffalo, New York, it is difficult to watch schools close so frequently for minor amounts of snow. As both a former hiring manager and currently a contracted vocational educator in schools, I see evidence of such frequent closings as conditioning students into an ever-shrinking comfort zone of safety. Tracy says learning to go about your day in the snow helps kids who will be future employees, parents, and leaders. She says it is not unreasonable to expect that the world will stop for you. I'm sorry, she said it's not reasonable to expect that the world will stop for you every time a few inches of snow falls. This is New Hampshire, after all. Full disclosure, my husband and I have said that occasionally. Really? Mm-hmm. This is New Hampshire. It snows. What do you think, Brendan?
Well, I certainly get that point. And what I've seen over time is it has changed. You know, I grew up in Maine, so we certainly have snow there. And, you know, typically 6 or more inches might be a closing, but otherwise it wouldn't. But like a lot of things, society has changed. And a lot of kids drive themselves to school. You have it's harder to make kind of calls on the fly. You know, very few schools do early releases now because no one's at home. And so you don't want to get the kids to school and then let them out and have them dropped off and no one's at the house or anything like that. And so I think sometimes people err more on the side of caution. I also think that, you know, sometimes when we make the call, like last Tuesday, I got 2 responses. One was from a parent thanking me for not closing school, and the other one was a parent who said, I can't believe you endangered my child. So therein lies the challenge.
Go ahead, Lisa.
The other consideration, too, and I speak from my perspective in my district, is that my district is very large. We have 6 towns, and they are at varying elevations. And they're very one town in my district is Gilsum, the other is Fitzwilliam, and they're a very good distance apart.
Yeah, that is a big spread.
And so the weather can look great in Troy or in Swansea, and in Gilsum it can be very snowy, very icy. And that was part of what happened this past Tuesday. We thought the storm was going to pass much higher, and it ended up coming down much closer to through Gilsum and Swansea. The southern towns didn't see as much. And so it's a perspective piece, too. We have to really consider all of our towns within our district.
That's where the local road agents come in. Well, and to Tracy's point, really, this is New Hampshire. Why do we cancel it for so little? Here's an email from Rosie in Bradford, who sent a photo, by the way, of an overturned Jeep in the snow. And she says, my granddaughter rolled over her Jeep on her way to Kearsarge High School the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. She's okay. She just had minor cuts and bruises. Rosie says, Kearsarge is a 7-town regional district. Many of the back roads that day were unplowed, untreated. I was told the superintendent based his decision on what the surrounding districts were doing. My question is, would it be better to contact the road agents of the seven individual towns instead of basing their decision on what the surrounding districts were doing? Wow, Rosie, I'm glad your granddaughter's okay. And that is a scary story. So that kind of gets to what you were saying, Lisa and Brendan. I'll turn to you about the road agents and their role.
Sure. So normally the road agents are fairly involved in the process. I know in Laconia, I hear from the road agents indirectly through the bus company, but they've already talked to the road agents at the time. And they're actually a very valuable resource. They can say how much they've done in terms of getting the roads cleared or the sidewalks plowed, those types of things. It's also important, I think, for people to realize, and I know the road agents in Laconia has said this, that it takes about 2 to 2.5 hours to go through the entire process of cleaning the city, in our case. And so the accumulating snow after that point can cover the roads all again. And so we do take their perspective. I actually take their perspective pretty much more strongly than I would my surrounding towns, because knowing that the elevations are different and that type of thing.
Well, and I've heard the complaints in my own household. Bow canceled, Hopkinton canceled, why is Concord still on? And I say, look, Concord's a city, and you know, you don't have these large areas. What's your perspective on this, Megan, as a longtime teacher and now as president of the New Hampshire chapter of the NEA?
You know, it's definitely not something I would want to do. So I do not envy either of you or any other superintendent. You know, as a teacher, it's always tough because, you know, you have plans and then you don't know what's going to happen. Those plans have to then be delayed. We work with it. We do what we need to do. And, you know, I think most teachers do understand the snow days and what ends up happening. But then you start to think, okay, now we're going to be in June in the hot classroom, and kids are going to be less engaged than they would be now. I mean, it's tough all around. It's hard, whether it's a delay, no school. I taught in the middle school, so we had alternating days. So that would push off. You might have Spanish or phys ed or art 2 days because it was Monday, Wednesday, and you skip Tuesday. I mean, it's tough all around. It's not easy on anybody.
Well, what's your perspective on the use of that 2-hour delay? Again, my only experience is with the Concord School District, but it seems like they're using that more and more rather than a full cancellation.
You know, personally, as a teacher and a parent, I do like the 2-hour delays better because you're not missing an entire day. You're still getting to connect with the kids. You're still getting to see them in class. You can still say, you know, we didn't get through this whole thing today, but you do need to make up this. Having a 2-hour delay is much better, you know, I think educationally than just having no school. Because again, you're still connecting, you're having that contact time with them. And they're still engaged a bit. I mean, they're still there. They're not, you know, completely not with you that day.
Well, and again, you can correct me if I'm wrong. It seems like there's been a move away from early release. I think Brendan alluded to this too. So as a teacher, that's probably sounding good to you.
Yeah, the early release is always tough just because the kids are looking forward to, oh, we're going to get out at this time. And they're not really, excuse me, as engaged as they could be. The problem with the elementary schools, who's home, you know, and it's not truly an early release because by the time the buses come, from my experience, it ends up being you're there the same amount of time. So an early release, you know, doesn't end up usually being a true early release for everybody. If the point is to get the children home earlier because of the roads, the educators are usually there later because they have to wait till the children leave and all that.
Our number here on the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. You can respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. Today we're talking about to close or not to close school. We're finding out how superintendents make that tough call, how it affects kids, teachers, families. Of course, we'd love to hear from you. The number 1-800-892-6477. And in New London, Allison is on the line. Hi, Allison. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
Sure. Go ahead.
I just wanted to call because I'm a school board member in the Kearsarge Regional School District, and we have a 7-town district, and it goes from Warner all the way to the end of Springfield. And the weather, like the previous person said, in Warner can be completely different in Springfield and totally different in Wilmot and all the 7 towns. And it's really hard for the superintendent to make the call. He gets on the phone at 4:30 in the morning with all the town road agents and the police and the bus transportation company, and they try to make their best call. But if two road agents say, we can't get our roads clear in our towns, then we can't have school. And I think what happens is a lot of parents, because believe me, I get complaints, and I go to the SAU all the time on those days to help support those people getting complaints. People feel like, if I can get to school, or New London Elementary is clear, why can't New London Elementary just be in school? And we do not open school in our district unless everybody can get to school at every school.
I see. Because that would be, how would you do that at the end of the year, right? If the elementary school kids didn't have school, or did have school, but the high school kids didn't, that would be pretty difficult.
Right. And obviously safety is the first priority of the kids. And do you think, I mean, the districts want the kids in school. Nobody wants them home. And we were actually the first district in New Hampshire to implement the blizzard bag. And we've been doing that now for about 8 years. And it's great. As a parent, I feel a little differently with a kid who's not motivated, but it's a great thing. It can give us some school days. But, you know, for example, this past couple days on Tuesday morning, or was it yesterday? Yesterday morning, we had so many power outages that they tried to call a two-hour delay. And by 7:30, they had to change it to a cancellation because we had a school without power and a lot of different trees down across the roads. So it's not even always snow that causes the problem.
Right. You know, Allison, thank you so much for calling. And you mentioned blizzard bags, and I want to let everybody know we are going to talk about that in just a couple minutes. She's right. Kearsarge got that started about a decade ago. Megan told us earlier that a couple dozen districts have done that. So that's a way for kids to get work done during these snow days or power outages days. So we are going to cover that in just a moment. Thank you for the call, Allison. Here's an email that came in yesterday from Laura, who works at a private school here in Concord, Shaker Road School. She says, Shaker Road School never has a snow day unless there's a state of emergency declared. Otherwise, the school is open all day, regardless of the weather, and they never have snow delays, regular hours all year round. Early care and aftercare are still offered during challenging weather. Families can drop off their children between 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. every weekday. Laura says, when teachers are hired at the school, they are informed that they will be required to be at work during regular hours, regardless of weather. For those families who don't feel safe driving in poor weather, their students can connect all classes via Skype or simply make up the class work during the following day during study hall. What's the difference, Lisa, between a private school, a charter school, and these big districts that you know, that you and Brendan work in? I mean, because some people may say, well, how is Shaker able to do it when, you know, keep school running when you guys can't? I just wonder what you think about that.
Well, I think that, again, we talked about where, you know, we're providing public transportation. We're providing buses for those students to get to school versus, you know, parents agreeing to ensure that their child gets to school, you know, regardless of the weather. And so, you know, I think considering the inherent risks with that is a little bit of a different challenge. We employ teachers, many of whom we want to make sure that they get to work safely as well. And I think, you know, private schools have different guidelines that they follow as well. So, I think, though, because of the unique situations that public schools are in, where we do have an obligation to provide safe transportation under state law, and if we can't do that, then I think we need to make sure that we make the right call.
Did you want to jump in real quick, Megan, on that?
Yeah, the only thing I wanted to mention, I agree with everything you just said. I think the other issue here is the technology that's available. She mentioned that kids are able to Skype into all their classes. That doesn't happen in all the public schools in New Hampshire. The public schools don't all have that same technology. So there's a difference there.
Okay. Well, Laura, thank you for the email. And a lot more emails and your calls coming up in just a moment. Also, we'll hear from someone in Derry who is on the school board there, also president of the New Hampshire PTA. She helped put together the Blizzard Bag Committee in Derry. So we're going to talk about blizzard bags in just a moment. If you don't know what those are, you're going to have to stay tuned. This is The Exchange on NHPR.
Become an NHPR sustainer today for a chance to win a trip to the white sand beaches of Captiva Island, Florida. You'll also be entered to win our grand prize, a trip for two to Barcelona, Spain, courtesy of Milne Travel American Express. Enjoy 6 days perusing the Museo Picasso or taking in a flamenco show at Los Torantos, Barcelona. You'll be automatically entered to win both trips when you sustain the news you trust and the programs you love right now at nhpr.org.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today, it's snow day season, but how do school districts make that decision to close, to delay, or to remain open? And what's the effect on everyone else? Tell us what you think. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Again, exchange@nhpr.org. You can give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-6477. With me in studio, Brendan Minahan, superintendent in Laconia. He's been a superintendent for 11 years in Laconia for three. He's also president of the New Hampshire School Administrators Association. Also with us, Megan Tuttle. She's president of the New Hampshire chapter of the National Education Association. She was a teacher for 18 years in Keene and Pembroke. And Lisa Witt is here, superintendent of the Monadnock Regional School District for 4 years. She's worked for a long time in school administration, both in New Hampshire and in Maine. One more time, that number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. And all of you joining us now from Derry is Michelle McKinnon. She's president of the New Hampshire PTA, a Derry school board member. Michelle served on Derry's Blizzard Bag Committee, helping to put together the materials that students can take home to continue their studies when school is closed. Michelle, really nice to have you. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
So for the uninitiated, Michelle, what's a Blizzard Bag?
So what is a Blizzard Bag? Blizzard Bag is a basically almost like a homework assignment compiled of mainly English and math problems along with some type of a literature reading or an reading excerpt that will go home with students, generally, hopefully, before the first snowfall hits, and is required by 85% of our district to complete in the event of a snow day.
So,
and what happens is the completion of a Blizzard Bag, we do not have to make up that day at the end of the school year.
So that's an incentive for kids to do it, because if 85% of kids participate, that counts as a school day. If they all blow it off, then that doesn't count.
Exactly.
When you say a bag to take home, is that a physical thing? Is it an online thing? How does that work, Michelle?
So we, in the past, we have done hard copies. So we've had to, unfortunately, had to have coordinate volunteers to come in and obviously collate quite a few, because you have to do one, obviously. I think we have 5 approved days for the year. So you're compiling 5 days of Blizzard Bags from K through 8, which is quite a bit of paper to be copying and collating. And basically each packet gets sent home with the students. We'll send home all 5 days. And every student will get a hard copy. This year is the first year we are trying to go fully digital, which is great, because obviously we're going to be saving on a lot of paper, a lot of volunteer hours, and what have you. People are still allowed to request a hard copy if need be, because obviously not everybody has access to a computer or the internet. But basically that's what happens, is the packet gets sent home with every student, and on the day of a snow day, the first day that we have snow will always count as a snow day. We do not do day one. Any consecutive days after that could possibly be a Blizzard Bag day. They will state that in the phone call when they call school out. They will say, today's a Blizzard Bag day.
So you better do it.
Take out your day one, and it will tell you exactly which day you'll be doing. And then the student knows that they have to complete day one of the Blizzard Bag, and they have, till I believe they have 48 hours to return it back to school.
So, Michelle, and why did Derry decide to do this? I know Kearsarge kind of pioneered it in 2009. When did you guys jump in?
So we are on year, this is year 3, possibly year 4. Actually, I think this is year 4 that we're going on to. It was almost like a survey, and we asked if people would be interested, and we had enough people that responded that it was a go. It was just one of those things that we decided as a district to try out. Pinkerton Academy was doing them, and it seemed to be working very well. I mean, there are the glitches We have pros and cons. We do have parents that do not like them. We are trying to work out all those glitches as far as getting the Blizzard bags more curriculum-based according to what the student is learning at that particular time. And I think the teachers have done a great job. I mean, because, again, they're basically compiled and put together by our staff.
Well, and so, Michelle, hold on a sec, because we've got a teacher in the studio, Megan Tuttle, president of the New Hampshire chapter of the NEA, and a longtime teacher herself. So, Megan, you've got some experience with Blizzard bags.
Yes, I actually, when I was teaching in Pembroke, we saw what Kearsarge was doing and piloting it. And so we, a few other teachers and I, brought it to our school board and to our leadership team in our district. And we did the same thing. We surveyed parents, we surveyed educators, kids. Is this something you'd be interested in? After we found out that this was, for the most part, something people wanted, we then went through what we needed to do for the DOE. So we surveyed all the kids.
It's Department of Education. Yeah, the State Department of Education. Yes. They have to approve the plan.
They have to approve
plan. You can't just randomly say that you want to do it.
Right. So we have to have a whole plan on how many kids do have access to the internet. And not just on a phone, but actual internet computer access. Now, Pembroke's very lucky in the fact that we have a lot of technology in the school. And so our school was already using a lot of Google Classroom and things like that. So for us, our plan was to make it as technology friendly from the beginning as possible. So we didn't do a lot of the bags. The kids that did not have
the physical bags.
The physical bags. Yeah, the kids that don't have the internet connection or the computers, we would make the bags for them ahead of time. But the whole point for Pembroke was we really wanted to be that 21st century learning. Something we had to keep in mind, and I'm sure all the schools do that do this, is that with the lower grades, you're going to also have kids who might be in daycare or be with a babysitter for the day. So whatever work is created by the educators has to make sure that it can be done there as well. And something we did is that we had it across the curriculum. So, for example, eighth grade where I taught for social studies, we had a grid. And all of the classes, language arts, literature, math, science, social studies, had options you could choose from. And so on the first day, you would choose three different options from different classes. The second day would be, you know, different options. The unified arts all had things that had to be done. So if you were taking Spanish or art or phys ed or
computers. Pretty comprehensive, Megan.
It is.
Sounds like a lot of work.
It's a lot of work ahead of time for the educators. We had it done by November 1st so that they were ready to go and ready to be launched. And if, November 2nd came and we had a snow day that was called as a blizzard bag day, that's when we would open up the Google Classroom for the kids to be invited in to start doing the work.
So, as an educator, how do you personally feel about these?
You know, they don't take the place of being in class.
Sure.
Right. You can't have that one-on-one interaction contact with the children. But as a different way of getting something to the children, as an educator, I like them. You know, I'm responsible for it, too. I have to be online. I have to be available to answer questions.
Working.
I'm still working just like the kids are. So, you know, I think that's important. And I'm a parent, too. I have three kids. So if there's a school day, I'm home with my three kids. Still working with, you know, Pembroke, but also working with my kids in Concord. So, or being with my kids in Concord, I do like it as an educator. Nothing will take the place of a classroom day, but I think this is a good way to be able to, you know, still continue what's going on.
To avoid sitting in that hot classroom in June
right,
with a bunch
exactly.
of squirmy kids who can't wait to get out.
Mm-hmm.
I actually got a lot of commentary on this from listeners before the show even started. So I'd like to share a little bit of that with all of you. And you too, Michelle. Cheryl on Facebook says, I think safety should be the most important thing and that the best way to keep up with the work schedule would be for teachers to send home a packet of alternative work every week or month that the kids can do at home. That will count for class time. Lisa on Facebook says, I have a teenager, no longer worried about daycare. However, I'm worried about her driving in unpredictable weather. At her high school, Conval, all students now have school-issued computers and a large majority have internet at home. I think a go-to-meeting style virtual class should happen. No need to miss class time with the technology available. Here's another cheer for Blizzard bags from Chuck on Facebook. I was on the Governor's Commission to save our summers. And one of the things the educators talked about was blizzard packs, which is basically work given to the children the day before a potential snow day, which kept the kids busy so they wouldn't fall behind. It's being used in many areas of the state. Chuck says, I thought it was a super idea. Less in love with the whole blizzard bag thing is Pam. She sent us an email. She says, I'm thankful that when the Concord School District does call for a snow day, my boys get to enjoy the snow without the worry of blizzard bag work, or as I like to refer it as busy work. It is not meaningful learning. Kids should get to be kids on a snow day. School districts who are worried about having to make up so many days at the end of the school year should consider counting hours like we do in Concord versus counting days. So obviously lots of sentiment from our listeners about this topic. And do you do in Laconia, Brendan, blizzard bags?
We don't in Laconia. We've talked about it over the years, and just for our community, we haven't felt like it was the best idea. We do hours, though, which is another way that we have a little bit of flexibility when these snow days occur.
So you tack on, what, 10 extra minutes every day or
we
something?
We don't have
and that
to tack
up,
on
do
because
do?
The length of our day is already a little longer. And so when you add up the hours at the end of the year, we have well in excess of the number we're required. So what does happen is it provides additional professional development time for our teachers at the end of the year, or sometimes even throughout the spring once we know how many days we have total.
Do you have blizzard bags in Monadnock Regional School District, Lisa?
We do not, and we also follow an hours calendar similar to what Brendan just described.
You know, Michelle, when you talked about whether Derry was going to make this decision or not, you said there were pros and cons. We've heard about but a lot of the pros. What are some of the cons, Michelle?
So some of the cons are exactly one of the comments that a parent just made, is parents just want their kids to be kids on a snow day, you know, and they don't, they're against them. One of the biggest con we hear is, again, like people are saying, it's busy work. They don't feel it goes enough along with the curriculum, that they feel it's worthwhile of their child sitting at home. So, I mean, that, in all honesty, is probably the biggest con that we hear about those basic two things, is that they want their kids to be home on a snow day and be kids. And I mean, not that that's really a con towards the blizzard bag, but the biggest con is, again, the curriculum base.
Sure, because you're kind of jumping
they,
in.
They want, right. Yeah. I mean, if they're going to do a blizzard bag, they want it to be equivalent to that student being in that classroom. And again, it's just not going to happen. I mean, some kids can get these bags done in an hour. Some kids take several hours to do them. So it's all a matter of what effort they're putting into it. So,
Megan, did you want to jump in on that too?
Yeah, I just wanted to put in about the comment with the, you know, if it's not meaningful learning. I think, you know, when educators know their kids and they know them well,
right,
they're going to make work that's going to be meaningful. So it's hard to do it not knowing when the snow days are going to happen. So it's hard to say, okay, tomorrow we're going to do this, but we think it's going to be a snow day. So you can't have that continuity. But things that we tried in Pembroke is you can add in topics that you might not have as much time to explore in class as you want. So we had articles on bullying. We had, you know, comprehension questions and discussions and, you know, writings on different topics that could happen. For social studies, I had articles to be read on the 100 most famous people in New Hampshire history. So that's something I might not necessarily get to in class, but it's still something
right,
worthwhile, still something meaningful. For the elementary school children, you know, yep, their phys ed portion of this could be go outside and have a snowball fight. It could be go outside and walk your dog, shovel. You're getting the exercise
right,
that you would be getting in phys ed, and you're still having some fun.
So there's ways to be creative.
There
about
are
it.
Ways. I
yeah,
think you
right,
just have to, you know, you have to buy into this isn't going to take the place of an actual school day, but it can still
right,
be really meaningful and really into, you know, it can have meaning.
Brendan, go ahead, and then I have another question for
sure,
you, Michelle, on a related but not quite blizzard bag topic. Go ahead.
I think one of the things you're seeing over time, too, is that technology is working to make the blizzard bag, even though we don't use them, become much more relevant and reliable. I was talking to one of our teachers in Laconia yesterday, and she told me our last snow day, it didn't make a difference because from 8 to noon, she was available for her Algebra 2 honors kids to go online. She flips her classroom so they can listen to the lesson, ask questions, do their homework, and it was totally applicable to what they were going to do that day. So I think technology can be very helpful.
Although let's just say sometimes there's power outages.
Sure.
You know, sometimes I have power, but my friend down the street doesn't.
Yeah.
So it's kind of tricky.
I think if you were to do it wholesale, those types of things come into play. In this case, it's one teacher working, you know, knowing that her community was fine. So.
Well, and one last question for you, Michelle, and it's been
yeah,
great to have you. So as a school board member, how much
yeah,
control do you have over snow day policies, snow delay policies? Obviously, you're not the one making the individual call like Lisa and Brendan, but
yep,
how much control do you have there?
So it's pretty funny, and I think people think you have this power or this magic ability as a school board member. So as much as I love hearing from all of my friends, they do think I make this call because I am a school board member. So it's pretty funny when I get these phone calls saying, so do you think we'll have school tomorrow, or do you think it's going to be a delay? I'm like, okay, I don't make that call.
Don't ask me.
Yep, it's not me. I cannot speak on behalf of the school board chair. I don't know what knowledge they have, but this strictly comes from the superintendent, as far as I know, from our district. And I do know they collaborate with other districts in the immediate area and go from there.
All right.
So, and we have Pinkerton Academy, which has, the five sending towns, and then, of course, Derry. That all go to Pinkerton. That all has to be taken into account. So, yeah, we're in a very unique situation in Derry as far as all that goes.
Well, so. Michelle, it's good to talk to you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for being
it's
with
nice
us.
Nice to be here.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Michelle McKinnon, she's president of the New Hampshire PTA. She's a Derry school board member. And as she told us, she served on Derry's Blizzard Bag Committee. So let's hear from you. Again, today in the exchange, we're talking about snow days, how they are called, and this policy that about three dozen or so districts have adopted using these blizzard bags, allowing students and teachers to work from home. Let us know what you think. 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. So Jeff sent us an email. He says, why are public schools so mired down by tradition? We should all be more innovative. We should extend the school day by half an hour and use this 30-minute period accumulatively through the year to make up for snow days at the end of the year. Yes, I realize that legislation would have to be passed to make it happen. Jeff, thank you. And Lisa, to you, how much wiggle room do individual districts have to, you know, make the day longer, add on a little bit here? I mean, I know the state has certain requirements, but then it seems like districts have some flexibility.
We, as I mentioned earlier, Brendan's district and mine both have adopted an hours calendar. We schedule 176 days, and that still exceeds the number of instructional hours required by the Department of Education. We build in five snow days, so if we have five or less, we don't make those days up. So it sort of says what the email referred to is, you know, adding some additional time to days earlier in the year. We make up anything in excess of those 5 days to make sure that we will meet the hours requirement that the Department of Education has.
So there's five assumed days in your calendar already.
Right. Yeah. So we schedule 176. If we don't have any snow days, we go 176. If we have one snow day, the students go 175 days.
What if there are a whole bunch of, I'll turn to you, Brendan, what if there are a whole bunch of delay days? I can't remember which winter it was. They're all mushing together mm-hmm. now. But there was one winter where, honest to goodness, it seemed like twice a week there was a delay. And after a while, that did seem to cut into instruction.
Sure. So I think there's two parts to that. So in terms of the working under an hour schedule, you just count all those delays up and, you know, see how that affects your hours. In terms of continuity of instruction, it's a problem. And, you know, I mean, even if you take not delays, but what's happened the last 3 weeks, I don't think that we've had a full week of school in a month. And I know that that's hard on teachers and families. So.
All right. Well, thank you for that comment, Jeff, and for all of the comments that have been coming in. Keep them coming. 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. And we'll be right back. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow on our show, it's the weekly New Hampshire News Roundup with host Peter Biello. That's tomorrow morning, live at 9. This hour, with the arrival of winter weather, school districts have already had to make that tough call to close, to delay, or to stay open. We're finding out what goes into that calculation and how it's changed. And we've been hearing a lot from you. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. Or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Real quick before we go back to our listeners, Brendan, just before the break, I read an email from Jeff who said, hey, why can't you guys be more innovative? What constraints are you operating under as a superintendent from the state? How much flexibility do you have, and how much are you just following what the state tells you to do?
Sure. I think it's a little of both. Once they clarified the language around days versus hours, that was a big help.
And was that recent?
It was fairly recent. I'd say within the past 5 to 10 years, maybe. So that gave us a lot more flexibility. But I think it's still important to realize that we operate under what they call the minimum standards. And the minimum standard defines the length of a day, what the maximum length could be. So you couldn't go totally outside of the box without a change in legislation to address it.
All right. Well, again, Jeff, thank you for that point. Here's an email from Mary who says, we live in the Kearsarge District and my son has significant special needs. We talked about Kearsarge pioneering the Blizzard bags a decade ago. Mary says it is impossible for a Blizzard bag to be the equivalent of a school day for him. After a few years, we gave up and asked for him to be marked absent on Blizzard bag days. Kind of relates to what we talked about earlier. Maybe I'll turn to you, Megan. Blizzard bags don't work for everyone. I myself, I'm working on a snow day, okay? Like, talk show hosts don't get snow days. So maybe my kids would do the Blizzard bags. Maybe they wouldn't. I don't know. I'm not there. So it doesn't work for everybody.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, I agree. It will not take the place of a class day for any child. You know, I think part of this is that you have to have the buy-in. And the way it's presented is a huge piece of that. And so if you have educators who believe in this and administration that believes in this, they're going to present it in a way that they're still going to be doing something meaningful so that the majority of kids are going to do the work. You're always going to have kids at home not do the work. You have kids come into school and not do the work, but they're still counted as being present. Same thing with the Blizzard bags. If, you know, 80% of the kids do the work and the educators, because they have to be online as well, it's going to count as a school day. But the work they turn in might not be the same that you're going to get, you know.
The same quality.
Right.
Still feels kind of unfair to Mary's child to not be able to participate because they don't have the supports they need.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where, you know, a conversation with the parent and the modifications and accommodations has to come in. Not everybody's work going home is going to be the same, just like not everybody's work in school is the same every day. So that's where the case manager, the parents, they need to get together and say, okay, what can we do and what's going to be the best option for this child at home to do something. You know, it doesn't have to be the same work that everybody else is doing, but there might be. I'm not sure of the disabilities and everything, so I don't want to, you know, answer specifically, but the conversation has to be had.
All right. Well, Mary, thanks a lot for the email. And let's go back to the callers. Frank is joining us from Manchester. Hi, Frank. You're on the air. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, good morning. I'm enjoying your show. My son is a school superintendent in Connecticut. And all the superintendents in the area know he's from New Hampshire. So when he's up around 4 a.m. talking to his facility people and the police and road agents, he'll start getting calls from superintendents. Mark, are you closing school today? And the reputation is he's from New Hampshire. He rarely closes. The average last year in his area was 11 school days. He closed 4 of them. And his parents and teachers will say, well, our superintendent's from New Hampshire. Don't count on having a day off today. Just a little humor.
He's the tough guy. He's not going to call school based on that. Thank you, Frank, for the story. That's great. Let's take another call. This is Kim in Moultonboro. Hi, Kim. You're on the air. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to comment. I just recently tuned in. I apologize if this was covered earlier, but I am a work-at-home mother. I have an office in my house, and Blizzard bags actually really save me. Because my kids are occupied for 3 or 4 hours in the morning, and so at least I have half a day. So when I'm home, there it's not a free for all in my house.
at least until the afternoon.
Actually, yeah, at least I can plan out a little better for my day.
Okay.
So they actually really they work well in my house.
Okay, I vote for Blizzard bags, and then again, some of us have to go to work no matter what the weather, so it's a little trickier. But I appreciate that, Kim, when we've heard that from other listeners.
as well. Here's an email from Matt who says, I work at a tech company in Manchester of about 400 people. We tie our work from home policy to WMUR's reporting of Manchester school cancellations. If Manchester closes, we expect people to work from home. So there's that work from home element. But as we keep hearing, that doesn't work for everybody. So thank you, Matt, for sharing. Francis in Portsmouth says, seems to me the decision should be made on the basis of road conditions rather than inches of snow. We don't build character by putting lives in danger. I wonder if you can address that a little bit, Lisa, too. That seems to be responding to an earlier comment that we got from someone who said, hey, look, it's New Hampshire, you know, suck it up and get out there.
Sure. And I'll go back to, again, you know, in my district with the six towns and what can be very varying road conditions in the different towns. Safety is the ultimate decision maker. We do consult with the road agents, with our bus companies. We also consult with our district facilities folks, because while we're also looking at the safety of our roads, we're also making sure that we can safely open our schools. If we're able to clear parking lots and walkways, have everything sanded and salted, if we have power so that we have heat. So it is, but safety is always the number one priority.
You know, we've talked a lot about the calendar and how much flexibility you guys have to sort of wiggle around it. And here's a comment that I got yesterday from Jamie. I am a parent of an elementary student. I'm not opposed so much to the number of snow days, although I do think it's excessive, but the apparent resistance to changing the winter vacation schedule to accommodate the increase in snow days. With climate change and likely an increase in precipitation during the winter in the coming years, we need to let go, Jamie says, of the February and April vacations. Combine it to 1 week in March. This, Jamie says, will free up 5 whole days of snow days alone and allow for the end of the school year to be in early June again. Anybody can comment on this. Megan, I have to say, when I tell friends from other states that we have February and April, they say, huh? Who does that? So I wonder what you think about Jamie's comment.
You know, we've brought that up in the two districts I've worked in, and it's always been looked at as we're not going to do that because of the money that goes into the ski industries. A lot of it, I hate to say this, has to do with that. The, you know, extending or starting the school year late after Labor Day that the governor is proposing right now, that's because of the tourism industry. There's nothing educationally based that's showing us that either of those is going to be better for the kids. The whole school calendar in New Hampshire, it's based on the agrarian schedule. That's a whole nother topic.
Yeah, that could you and probably I talked about be, that
yes,
last
we did.
Year. Yeah.
This could be brought up and probably have a week-long conversation on this show about that. But, you know, it's a lot of this has to do with local decisions. And I don't think a lot of the local, I could be wrong, but I don't think a lot of the local districts, especially North Country and kind of Western, would want to give up a lot of that money that's going to come in through tourism because of the opposite weeks we have from Massachusetts and Vermont. I mean, they're planned pretty strategically on when they happen.
So the February break week is basically about the ski industry in New Hampshire, because the skiing, let's face it, isn't that great in March sometimes.
In my opinion, yes. I mean, that's what I've seen when we've had the discussion in the districts I've worked in. You know, do we go together? And a lot of parents that I've heard also don't want to have just one vacation. They like having the two vacation weeks.
Yeah.
So
well, when both
pushback.
Parents work, it's hard, I have to say.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes you split it up. Okay, I'll take February when they're little.
Exactly.
I'll take February week off. You take April week off.
Yep.
I mean, not all of us can go jet off to the Caribbean or something,
nope.
You know? So what do you think about this February week and April week, Brendan?
I think it's a bigger conversation, but I do think kind of a different side of that. What I've also heard from people in various communities is that they like the fact that they have the two and that they're offset from Massachusetts because the prices of things are cheaper. And you don't have the giant crowd. So if you all had the same 1 week in, say, March, and you wanted to go to some other locale, the price of flights, all of those things would come into play. And it's funny because it's a New England kind of thing and California. So why?
Interesting. And I have a friend who sends his son to Derryfield, and I think they do take 2 weeks in March.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
Yeah, not many.
Yeah.
I know it's come up actually in various districts. People have proposed it, and it's like a non-starter, as near as I can tell.
Really? So how come? So people have said, look, let's get rid of this. It's 2 weeks, and we wouldn't have to worry about all these snow days if we didn't have these 2 weeks in the middle of the year.
Yeah, I don't know specifically. I just know that people are like, no, we want to have the 2 weeks. We have a timeshare in such and such a place, and we'd have to change that. I mean, it's just, it's like anything that gets ingrained into society. It's what we do. And until, you know, someone tells you you have to do something else, it's just sort of how we roll.
Do you want to jump in, Lisa?
We've, in my district, we've had the conversation, but it hasn't been an in-depth conversation. Typically, this is the time of year, December and January, where we are looking to set next year's schedule, day schedule. And it often comes up as part of that conversation. Have we ever given any thought to having just the one vacation? But it hasn't gone much further than that. This past fall, when the Save Our Summers Commission was meeting, I had put a poll on Facebook for our district just to get a sense of what people thought about the concept of starting after Labor Day. And this is a theme that came up repeatedly, was that folks indicated they would much rather see the district move to a single vacation in March than change the start date. But it wasn't not a statistically significant amount, but enough
sure,
that
but
it,
there's a
that
sentiment there.
Absolutely, yep.
Yeah, it's interesting. And then there's resistance to change as well, and people have their schedules set around that. So, all right, well, Jamie, we could probably talk about that for another half hour, but I'll set it aside for now. But thank you so much for raising that point. All of you, when there are a lot of snow days, and, you know, many of us remember the ice storm of 08, and then I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, it seemed like every other day there was a storm, and it got to the point where when people would say the storm, and you had to say which storm, last week or the week before. What's the longest stretch that you guys have experienced in terms of snow day after snow day after snow day after snow day? You don't have to be super precise. Like, you don't have to say in 2015 it was 5.5 days, but just wondering.
Well, as a superintendent, it hasn't been that long. It's been like a couple of days sequentially. As a parent, I live in the Conval School District. So when they had the ice storm, I believe my daughter was out of school for maybe 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
It was a long period of time.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Yes, and that area was hit particularly
very hard, and then some of the schools were being used as shelters. So,
oh my goodness. Okay, so how about you, Lisa?
I think since I've been in Monadnock, I can only think that maybe two consecutive days, but I've been there for 4 years. But my first year of teaching in 1995, I was in right outside of Philadelphia, and we had a storm in 1996, the blizzard of 1996, and we got 36 inches of snow in Philadelphia, and schools were closed for 2 full weeks as a result. So just another, you know, place, another experience, but, you know, that I've experienced personally. And I believe when I was at Pembroke as well, we had the ice storm, and we were closed for an extended period of time. It wasn't 3 weeks, but it was at least a week back a few years.
Wow, I remember that mid-90s storm really hit the mid-Atlantic. There were pictures of people cross-country skiing on the mall in D.C. and so forth. So, wow, it's a long time. How about you, Megan?
I think I've probably blacked it out. I think I try not to
especially
remember.
Especially if you were home with your kids.
I don't remember any more than probably 3 days. I'm sure there were times that it was longer, but, 18 years of teaching, it kind of all blends together, and you can't really remember, but I think it's probably only been about 3 days that I can remember for myself.
Here's an email from Claire who says, why not have the kids report on what they did during their snow day and how it relates to topics learned in school? Tell them ahead of time that they have to do this. Claire says, at a minimum, it will make them reflect on what they are doing and perhaps take notes. I made snowmen, or I spent the day playing World of Warcraft, are perfectly good topics, and explaining those activities can contribute to educational goals. In any case, writing a short essay or verbally presenting what they did is a good educational outcome. Wow, Claire, what a good idea. Go ahead, Lisa.
Yesterday, I was visiting one of my elementary schools, and we had had a snow day on Tuesday in the elementaries. And so I was at this elementary school early in the morning in time for morning meeting. And the students were talking about what they did on their snow days, and they were studying Simple Machines in their third grade class. And so they were talking about what they did in the snow and relating it to perhaps a simple machine. And a lot of them have talked about sledding, of course, or creating a little a catapult for snowballs, things like that.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'm glad they were outside, too.
So. Absolutely.
Right.
do you think of this idea as an educator, Megan?
I think it's great. It's simple. It makes them reflect, like she said. You have to actually connect what you're doing to what you're learning in school. And a lot of times, you know, for the children, that's hard. They're not thinking about what I'm learning actually does connect with real life. So, I mean, it's simple and it can be used any day.
Brendan, what's your message to parents, like me sometimes, who question the decision-making of superintendents? Like, I can't believe you canceled school for this. Or, really? You didn't cancel school? What's your message to parents listening?
I think what I would say is that not everyone, but certainly many of us are also parents, and we have been on both sides of that sort of equation. And I think the message is that please know that superintendents certainly don't take this decision lightly. We're always trying to think of the safety of the kids and also the safety of the staff that have to drive in from sometimes an hour and a half away. And that, you know, one of my colleagues was telling me that someone had said, you guys are just lazy. It's certainly not that at all. It's just that, you know, we use the information we have. We're not meteorologists. And we try to make the best decision for our kids and for your kids.
Megan?
Just, you know, as a parent, putting on my parent hat, I think communication is the biggest thing. And I know that the communication has to be both ways. But in Concord, we did get an email from our superintendent at the beginning of the year explaining how the whole process worked and how she made her decision. And I can say it's the first time I've gotten something like that.
Transparency.
I was very appreciative knowing that she's not going to try and call it the night before. She's going to call the next morning. And so that's, you know, we have an expectation. And I think just that open communication was great from her.
Okay. All of you, this has been really interesting. Thank you so much for being here. Megan, it was good to see you. Thank you.
Too. Thank you.
Megan Tuttle, president of the New Hampshire chapter of the NEA. Lisa Witt, really nice to meet you. Thank you for coming over.
Thank you.
That's Lisa Witt, superintendent of the Monadnock Regional School District. She's also worked in school administration in New Hampshire and in Maine. And Brendan, it was good to meet you too. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. It was a pleasure.
Brendan Minahan, he's a superintendent in Laconia. He has served in a superintendent's role for 11 years, including the last three in Laconia. He's president of the New Hampshire School Administrators Association. This is The Exchange on NHPR.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. Hey, if you like what you heard, spread the word. Please give us a review on iTunes to help other listeners find us. And thanks.